Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 9th of September, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is There Was a Time, Q, the Ark Project, Current Events, and a Month of Preparedness. Before we get into the meat of the matter, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. We do invite callers during this broadcast. We do ask that you keep your questions or comments as short as possible so that you allow others to participate. And again, a reminder, we are in the question and answer mode, which means that you are muted automatically until you signal that you wish to make a comment, at which time I will unmute you and bring you onto the program. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and you will find a schedule there. Daily news, other news items that are more, long-standing on a different page that are kept up for more than just a day. Also, a lot of training aids as far as health and the identity message. There's also archives of programs going back to 1999 when we started. And if you look at the master list, there's a link on one of the pages to a master list of all the programs. If you see one there by the title that you're interested in and it's not uploaded to the website, if you send me a quick email, and that's also at the website, how to email me. If you send me an email, tell me the date and title of the program, I will upload it as quickly as possible. We want to give a shout out to Jimmy up there in Tampa with Bank versus UTV and his audience, and hope everybody is doing well today. There's an awful lot going on, folks. I mean an awful lot. So it was almost prophetic last week and earlier in the middle of the week when we talked about that this is a time of upheaval. The Bible talks about a great shaking in the heavens and the earth. And believe me, there's been a great shaking for quite some time, but it's not over yet. We're about to go into a period where the potential for a huge upheaval is there. As the enemies of Christ, the Dragonians, or whatever term you use for those who are adversaries to Yahweh and Yahweh's people, they know their time is short. And the scripture tells us that when Satan and his kids knew that their time was short, they would have great wrath. And if you look at what the mainstream media and the other communists that have infiltrated this great nation have done in the past week or so, it shows that literally they have lost their minds, okay? Literally have lost their minds. They are so obvious now that you literally have to be dumber than a box of rocks to not see who the good guys are versus the bad guys. Which in a way is a good thing, because those of us that have been on the wall as watchmen trying to awaken the Jacob Israel people, it's been a very frustrating thing. We predicted it many years ago that it would take a great upheaval to wake up most of our people. Well, you're living it, folks. Great upheaval is exactly where we're at. And it could get very, very dicey in the very near future. Now, the watchmen have been ringing the bell for a long time, and everybody's sitting back going, well, you've been telling us it's coming, but it's not here yet, so I guess I'll go back to sleep. Well, you can do that, But let me tell you, as one of the people watching the events on the world stage for a very long time, I have never, ever seen the indicators point to something happening very soon as I do right now. Nothing even close. And again, I can understand where everybody says, well, Dan, I've heard it before. Okay, I understand that. But it's my job to tell you what I see and what I'm led to tell you. And that is, it was not by accident that President Trump made September a national, not just regional, but a national month for preparedness. It's also not an accident that in 11 days from now, there'll be a testing of both emergency broadcast systems. All right, both of them, the wireless and the other. So that's a first, okay? We also, this is another first in the sense that we've been under a state of emergency, national emergency, for over a year. We also have in March that President Trump and the administration revised the military code for the proper conducting of tribunals. It was also pointed out recently that Senator Lindsey Graham, in his questioning of Kavanaugh, who's in front of Congress for confirmation as the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States, brought up the idea of military tribunals and asked if Mr. Kavanaugh was aware of that and asked him about six or seven questions. All of this stuff is unique, never happened before, and the timing, I do not believe, again, is by accident. You take it for what it's worth, folks, really. I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep on people that ignore it. I'll feel sad for them, but I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not here, again, to make friends. I'm here to simply pass along information as it's been given to me, whether it's about the Bible or politics, religion, government, whatever. Truth is what we dedicated this program to in the fall of 1999. Nothing but the truth. And we've attempted to do that. And praise Yahweh that we've been able to be on for this long, because many people were attacked far more than us. The worst case, of course, is when TalkShoe.com took down 9 years of my material in an instant. Now, praise Yahweh, some of our people were given a heads up that there was rumors that that could happen, and so everybody made sure everything was backed up. I backed up all my stuff anyway, but thankfully, when I went back and checked, I did miss two or three programs. So the warning was taken advantage of by myself and many others. So the attack on free speech, and especially free speech that has anything to do with our Heavenly Father and His Word, has been intensifying of late. Alex Jones is a Mossad agent. We've all known that he's a shill for the Jews for a very long time, and a lot of this hoopla over Alex is just to divert your attention. Personally, I think his coming down might actually be part of the good guys in the takedown of the bad actors that walk amongst us, because if you're working for the Israeli Mossad, you're a bad actor. That's all there is to it. There is no such thing as a good actor within the Jewish state. No such thing. And I don't care if you're talking about Brother Nathaniel, Dr. Macau in Canada, Benjamin Friedman, all the rest of them, okay? Did they tell the truth about what the criminals within their own race are doing? Yeah. Yeah, they have. But are they trustworthy? No. And people, you know, you seem to forget that the Bible... We claim the Bible is all the truth, don't we? Well, the Bible doesn't differentiate between an Edomite that's good and an Edomite that's bad. it simply says the Edomites have to go. Obadiah says that. Ezekiel at chapter 25 says that. Okay? So don't point your finger at me. You can point your finger at the writers of the scriptures if you want, but don't point fingers at me. Nobody that has their DNA and their bloodline running through them is trustworthy. Not completely. That doesn't mean that they won't tell the truth from time to time when it benefits them. I'm just saying, they're not trustworthy. Yahweh says that they're all going to be put in their places, and they will have no power, no money, and no ability to subvert mankind in the very near future. Why is that so? Because if they were not subdued at this time, no flesh would be saved. Do those words sound familiar to you? Yeah, they're in Scripture. Right? If the coming of Messiah, the Anointed One, did not happen when it did, there would be no flesh saved. That's what the Word tells us. Okay? So you decide what you want to believe. But I'm here to tell you that there is a great shaking right on the horizon. And I'm doing something here, so you have to excuse the pausing here. I'm trying to figure something out. Oh, okay. All the pundits that are on the right side of the fence are saying the same thing. And I believe it to be true. So, just setting a name in the record here. I watched a interview by Greg Hunter, who used to work for CNN and another major affiliate before he realized that they're corrupt as hell, and now he's an independent journalist broadcaster on YouTube. But Greg Hunter was interviewing Dr. Dave Janda, an excellent interview, by the way. If you go to Greg Hunter's YouTube channel, you can find it. They covered a lot of the things going on. They very much repeated many of the things that we've talked about for a very long time. Dave Janda has been around and in Washington on the behalf of trying to reform the medical mafia. Isn't it funny how everything's a mafia anymore? That's the way it's run. But the medical mafia. And basically was told that he'd better be careful because if he's too successful, they will, quote, kill you. But he has, because of his stellar background and his patriotism, he's obtained many sources, and his sources are confirming many of the suspicions that we have that we should be all on high alert right now. And he also gave credence to what we call the QAnon phenomenon. Now, for those of us who have been following the Q post for a very long time, we're not surprised by that. Okay. However, there's a lot of people out there still saying Q's a psyop against us and everything else. Well, it's one of the best psyops I've ever seen. As far as waking people up and representing good guys, I have not seen one better. So if it's a psyop to hurt us, they're doing a pretty miserable job, because all they had to do is be quiet and the deep state would have taken control of this world and you and I would not have been the wiser. We got that close to the point where they would have simply declared martial law in the United States and rounded up every patriot, because they have such a control over finance, government, medical, media, you name it. The deep state is deep, but it's also very, very evil. And there are some people still on this earth that worship the living God and righteousness, and praise Yahweh for that. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to bring up the Q posts and this is because one of the recent posts was entitled, There Was a Time, and this was yesterday. And shortly after it, they put up a graphic of an American flag that is in the breeze, and behind it is the sun shining, and it forms a cross on the Old Glory, the flag. I believe we're being given signs, all right? And I'm hoping you're paying attention. But this is what the infamous Q put for us as a psyop. There was a time when our children stood at attention, put their hand on their heart, and in one united voice recited the Pledge of Allegiance. Let me stop for a second. I remember those days when I was a young boy. There was a time when strength and honor meant something. There was a time when standing for our flag meant something. There was a time when our history, heritage, was taught with pride and respect. There was a time when respect was given to those who served, bled, and died to protect and defend our God-given freedom. There was a time when we were grateful. There was a time when these United States of America, one nation under God, was united. There was a time when these United States of America, one nation under God, was united under one flag. There was a time when we, the people, decided our future. There was a time when we, the people, had a voice. There was a time when we, the people, were united and strong. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, which could be interpreted as one race if you look up the definition of nation, one nation or race under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It is a time we, the people, reclaim what is rightfully ours. May God bless America and all those who defend and protect her against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We stand together as patriots. Where we go one, we go all. Home of the brave, Q+. Now, Q+ has been told that that's the whole team is behind whatever was posted. I don't know for certain of that, but that's my guess. Q plus is possibly the whole team, including the president. Now, you can believe whatever you want, but I find that a strange psyop that's trying to do damage to we the people by putting it up there and reminding us of what we've been talking about for 19 years on the radio. 19 years. And then before that, it was in personal appearances at live audiences. So, again, if it's a psyop to do damage to us, I got to applaud whoever it is because they're doing a damn good job of doing us a favor. But here again, there's no way I know for sure. I'm just telling you the way it looks to me. Okay? So Dr. Janda, in this interview with Greg Hunter, reaffirmed many of the things we're talking about, that this is a month of preparedness for a reason, because I believe the deep state is in a deep panic. And, you know, when it talks about there was a time when America was great, it's because there was a time when America was ruled and governed by white men. If you look at the demise of America, you can follow it on a graph and start that right around the turn of the century in the early 1900s. Now, there was nefarious things going on before that, but that was a turning point when they created the Federal Reserve and the ability to create money out of thin air. The Jews took over the banking, which means they took over everything, because if you control the issuance of the currency, you control everything, including the political process, including your courts, and even including your military and law enforcement. They controlled it all at that point. And so shortly after taking control, what did they do? They got us into World War I, one of the bloodiest, deadliest global conflicts ever. My Uncle Brownie was in the trenches of France during that war, and some of the stories he told would curl your hair. What those men, and sometimes ladies, but predominantly men, went through was hell, literally hell on earth. And for what? Many books have been written since that show that that was an orchestrated war. It was false flags, Lusitania, a false flag. The USS Maine, a false flag. Pearl Harbor, false flag. Gulf of Tonkin, false flag. Every one of them orchestrated. Every one of them done by criminals and traitors within our own government in collusion with those outside of our government. And the Israelis have lots of innocent blood on their hands. Because, again, they get control and they make phenomenal amounts of money with war. In fact, war has been called a Jewish harvest. They get to kill white people by the millions and make billions of dollars. It's a double win for the Jew. There was a time when America was great again because America understood this. I remember as a boy, even in the 50s, that people talked about the mistrust of the Jews. They didn't hate Jews because they're Jews. They hated Jews because of what Jews do. Lie, cheat, steal. Why did Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, identify them as vipers? And why did they in turn orchestrate a phony trial, here again, a fake trial, to convict him of some obscure violation of Roman law and Jewish law and had him executed? You see, the Jew doesn't like to get his hands dirty if he can convince white people to do the job for him. And now he's got even other races besides whites doing it. So they murdered the Christ himself. And people say, well, Dan, that he was one of their own. No, he wasn't. Please, I'm sick and tired of people attributing to my race, the white race, what these damnable Jews do. Because Jews are not white. They are aliens. The Apostle John and many others ascribe to that. Even Thayer's English Lexicon, produced in the 1980s, made reference to that. In the Greek language, John wrote as if the Jews sprang from an alien race, that they had nothing in common with him, the disciples, and Christ. And yet you've got preachers telling you these despicable, traitorous, murderous thieves are God's chosen people, and that our Messiah was one of them, really. Well, when you stand in front of the great white throne judgment that day and you explain to the Father of all why you fell for that lie, even though everything empirical around you tells you the Jews are anything but that. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts, who used to be in Washington, I believe under the Reagan administration, Paul Craig Roberts just put out an article where he said, truth be told, the Jews are the greatest mass murderers to ever walk the earth. Wow! Dan, that's Paul Craig Roberts, not some farm boy from Pennsylvania that said it. Christ himself said it. And why did Paul Craig Roberts say it? Because communism is Jewish, always has been Jewish. And the communists have murdered at least 200 million innocent men, women, and children, predominantly Christian, by the way, in their contempt for all things related to the Christ. Goes back to Genesis 3:15, people. Enmity between the seed of the woman, who are us, the children of Yahweh, and the seed of the serpent, the nefarious criminal Jews. So you can be an apologist for them if you want, like Alex Jones and Jerome Kersey. Of course, they're both Mossad-supported, Mossad agents. So it understands, it's very understandable that they would try to apologize for the criminality of these people. Remember when Kersey's book, his latest book, just came out, I got a digital copy of it because I didn't want to support him too much. it was fairly cheap, and it didn't take very long to find his masquerading and covering up for Jews in the book, so I never even finished the book. Couldn't stand it. And I put out a piece about that and even put an excerpt from the book to show you that he was indeed a Israeli apologist, and now he's been outed completely. So Jerome Corsi is, just like Alex Jones, a Mossad shill, and they're being exposed. So hallelujah. Yahweh said that in the end, at the end of the age, that all the things would be revealed, wouldn't it? And that is what it takes to wake people up, the truth. It's why we're all about the truth. So now, there was a time when America was great and the world was in much better shape, but that's when, as Dr. James Manning, James David Manning, the black preacher in Harlem, who has a very large audience because he has a radio show, he has stated many years ago that America will cease to be great and will continue to decline until the people who founded it take control, which is the white European male. And we're not talking about any white European male. We're talking about males who are believers and trustworthy and of stellar character, because that's what the Bible tells you. That's the only people you ever give any kind of political power. Any kind of power to govern you has to be the best of the best. That's your job. Your job to make sure only the best. So you want to make America great again. Well, that's all sounding really good, but you've got to be able to swallow the red pill. You've got to be able to accept the whole truth. Not just what fits in your cafeteria-style basket. Well, I like the parts, Dan, about America being great until you get to the racial thing. Because, you know, I've got black friends. I've got Jewish friends. I've got Oriental friends. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear that bullshit. We're sinking. It's like being on the Titanic, and you don't want me to bail out all the water because you got some water in the lower decks that you think is okay. The Titanic's sinking. You pump out all the water until you have what's left that was supposed to be there in control. James David Manning, the preacher, said it correctly. He believes there'll be a white backlash because of all the anti-white rhetoric and anti-white enfranchisement that's been going on in America and in other white nations. And he said he's personally praying for it. He's praying for the whites to rise up because he knows America will die if they don't. And he knows, he's smart enough to know, he has a PhD, piled high and deep. He has a PhD and he's smart enough to realize that if the whites don't take it back and pull it back up to its high standards, that she will go down, and when she goes down, just like the Titanic, everybody on board goes down with it. And that includes blacks, browns, yellows, and ignorant whites. All right? Our founding fathers said you cannot be ignorant and free. You can't. You can't. Liberty or freedom takes eternal vigilance. Sitting on your ass in front of movie screens and televisions and down at the bar and wherever else you get your sickening entertainment doesn't count for vigilance. It counts for slothfulness. It counts for cowardice. It counts for willful ignorance. According to Joe Cortina, one of my guests, who was a former commander in the Special Forces, and has written an extensive book exposing the Jews. On my program, he stated that willful ignorance should be a capital offense. Now, for you people out there that brains don't work quite well, what he's saying is that if you remain willfully ignorant, you should be executed. because that's what you do for people guilty of capital crimes. That's what capital means. You pay for your ignorance, you pay for your crime with your life. That's why rape, murder, and kidnapping were always capital crimes. You want to make America great again? Obey God's law. So, two very simple things if you really, truly want to make America great again, and every other white nation, is you have to put the white men of faith back in charge. Get the women the hell out of the picture. Sorry, ladies, but you weren't designed for it, and quite frankly, you're terrible at it. Get you guys out of the way and get all the non-whites out of the picture as far as any authority or any governance. Has to be that way. Sorry. That doesn't mean we hate other races. Quite the contrary. Look at the races where they've gone on the backs of the white man. All right? If we hated them, they wouldn't exist. If it was hatred of the white race for other races, we have the technical ability, and we certainly could have easily eliminated every other race on Earth. Don't tell me we couldn't, because we could. Easily. Easily. But that is not what we are. The hallmark of an Israelite is that he's a loving, caring, sharing person, almost to the point of hurting himself, because he's so slow to anger, so slow to respond to threats, so slow to committing acts of violence against another person. It doesn't enter our mind. Only the sick mind of a Jew thinks it's entertaining to make movies like Chainsaw Massacre and Saw and all the other hideous things that come out of Jewish Hollywood. It doesn't enter the mind of an Israelite man to do any of these criminal acts. What it does do to a righteous individual is make them want to pick up a sword and put it right through the stomach of the culprits who think that rape, murder, and kidnapping are okay. Put a noose around the neck of those that think harming children is okay. Put a noose around the neck of those who commit treason against our country. Those who hold dual citizenship, which is an act of treason. Those who signed loyalty oaths to a foreign nation is an act of treason. Especially when that foreign nation is the greatest enemy of all mankind, not just these United States. And I'm glad to see that Paul Craig Roberts and many others are now having enough intestinal fortitude to call a spade a spade. The Jew is the nemesis of this earth. The sooner the world wakes up to that, the sooner we can fix the problem. And as Dr. Janda so correctly put it, being that he's a surgeon, trained as a surgeon, when you have a disease eating away at your body, you don't go in there and take out just part of the disease. You take out all of the disease. And when you start digging and you start scraping away the layers of the onion, you start finding out that there's Jewish fingerprints on almost every single issue we have to deal with today. Every single issue. So if you're a surgeon and you're looking at the patient, which is this earth that Yahweh put Adam here to keep and defend and protect, and you see this disease called Judaism, Zionism, communism, all of it Jewish, and you see it eating away at this world, what is the only decision a good surgeon would have? I believe he would agree with Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 14, and Obadiah, verse 18. It's time to remove the tumor. It's time to remove the cancer from the patient so that the patient can recover. Here's the good news. Once the Jewish question is dealt with, recovery is quick. There's still enough good people, still enough good land. Thanks to our cousins, the Russians over there, they've been stockpiling heirloom seeds, and for the farmers out there, you know what I'm talking about. heirloom, uncontaminated, unmiscegenated seeds so that we can grow real food again instead of this Monsanto Terminator seed garbage that they put on the shelves for you to consume, which is causing many of your health problems, by the way. So we have those who have seen that evil has been at loose on this earth for a long time. And they have taken steps that we can recover. So praise Yahweh for that, that some followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and took measures to preserve whatever they can. Now, does that mean that the recovery is going to be bloodless and painless? I don't see that in the scriptures. I don't see it. And people say, well, Dan, we got to go through the tribulation. Well, folks, I don't know. When I go look at the body counts from two major world wars, Korea, the Middle East, Desert Storm and whatnot, Afghanistan, Serbia, Sierra Leone, where it's either two or three million blacks were murdered by other blacks. Yeah, you don't hear much talk about that, do you? I know a gentleman that was a missionary in Sierra Leone, and he even stated, I wonder why nobody's talking about this. How could 2 million people, it might have been as high as three, but I know it was at least 2 million people, murdered? Where was your Jewish press on that one? Where were your bleeding heart whites on that one when 2 million blacks were murdered in Sierra Leone? Not a peep on the radar, not a peep in the mainstream media, not even a peep in alternative media, even though there wasn't much back then. But I paid attention to it. What about the whites that are being murdered right now in South Africa and their land being stolen from them? I can't remember who to give credit to, but somebody just told me about a cousin that they have that has a friend or family relation with a farm in South Africa. It's valued at $40 million. I believe that's United States dollars. The land is valued at $40 million. The black government of South Africa went in and said, we're taking your land and we're going to give you $2 million. That's all you get. Now get off the land. And many white farmers have been murdered. They've been murdering them for a long time now, and the government there, being black, doesn't do a damn thing about it. Now, the black communists that run South Africa don't represent all the blacks in South Africa. I have a friend who's works in a bank over there, and they had a white solidarity day for the white farmers that are being pushed off their land or murdered. And the white people in the bank wore these shirts, and they came to find out that 90% of the black employees also had white solidarity shirts on. Over 90%. And the few blacks who did not wear them were chided by the other blacks until they put shirts on as well. So by the end of the day, every black in the bank had a white solidarity shirt on. So, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and consider every black in South Africa in agreement. It's the communists, which means the Jewish supported. Who do you think funded Nelson Mandela, the murderer, the communist, and his hideous wife? Who do you think funded them? Who do you think took down the white rule in South Africa? Who had anti-apartheid rhetoric in the paper every single day? I remember because I was old enough to read newspapers back then. And I even then found it astounding that every single day there was an anti-white article in the paper for over a year before they finally got the white government to step down and bring blacks in South Africa. The whole time this lie is being told as if the white people in South Africa took the land from the blacks. That was the false image by the Jewish press of the time. And white people went along with this bullshit. That's what amazes me. How white people can be so stupid. How white people can be so ashamed of being white. when the fact of the matter is South Africa, where the country is today, was a wasteland when the Boers showed up. And Boers, just Afrikaans for farmer. So the farmers showed up, the white farmers, they turned South Africa into a paradise. And it's then that the blacks started coming down asking for work and a better way of life. And they let some of them in, of course. And then we allow the Jewish media to tell a false tale and leave out pertinent facts, as they always do, to convince us that it was a good thing that black communists take over South Africa. And what you don't see in the paper now, and right after the takeover by the communist blacks, the same Jewish newspapers that were putting something in the paper every single day about white rule in South Africa, not one article about the crime rate that went through the roof, not one article about the rapes of blacks and whites, not one article about the AIDS epidemic because of the rapes that were going on, not one article about the lack of proper attention to the infrastructure, not one article about how communism erodes anything that's good, just like the Jews do. The Jews come into a perfectly healthy white nation, and pretty soon it's dying. They debase the currency, they debase the morals, they debase literature, they debase medicine, they debase education, they debase Christianity, because that's what they do. The shame of it is that white people don't have enough sense to understand they're under an assault. They can't see the forest for the trees. They can't see the nefarious Jew because they've got a lying person called a preacher behind that pulpit spewing out the doctrines of devils, telling you that the Jews are God's chosen people. Really? You see, if a person had a brain at work, they would sit back and go, I don't see anything godly about Jews. They spit at churches on the sidewalk in front of churches because they have so much contempt for Christ and all things Christians. They take advantage of Christian businesses and Christian people. Bernie Sanders became completely unglued in the confirmation hearing of a 40-ish or so guy, white guy with glasses, balding, that was running for some high office where they needed a confirmation hearing. And his whole attack on this man for being unfit for public service was the fact in social media he posted Bible verses and stated that the Arabs needed to repent and come to Christ. So Bernie showed true Jewish behavior in openly defying and showing his contempt for this man being a Christian. He never once said anything about his technical ability or ability to do the job. It was solely based on the fact that this was a Christian man who actually showed his faith by things he tweeted and posted on social media. So thank you, Bernie, for taking the mask off so we could see the hideous Jew that you are, as all the hideous Jews, like Madeleine Albright, when she thought it was not a high price to pay, 500,000 Iraqis dying in the Middle East. It might have been that many children, but I know it was a high figure of deaths, and she thought that that was not such a high price to pay. Well, of course, you fat, hideous Jew. You're not out there doing the dying. You're getting white guys and black guys and brown guys to tote the rifles to go in and kill other brown people in the Middle East in your behalf. That's what you Jews do. And then you sit there like some pompous ass saying that 500,000 is not such a big thing. You wonder why the world's in travail? You wonder why the Christ is sitting on the throne going, whew, this is what I left them? I gave them the law. I gave them the Holy Spirit. I gave them my own walk and the fact that I would take upon death to save their sorry asses. And this is what they turned my world into? This Garden of Eden called Earth? A paradise? This is what you've done with it? I'm still amazed that Yahweh hasn't hit that big red button that says reset on it. I'm still in utter amazement of that. We don't deserve his mercy. Not one bit. Not as a group. There may be a few individuals, but not as a group. We're pathetic. Absolutely 100% pathetic. We were born men and women. Now we're confused about that. Talk about stupidity. We're born men and women of the white race, and now you're all of a sudden ashamed of it. And yet, the truth be told, 99% of what we call civilization today was put here by the white race, not Jews. Jews only come in after the work is done. Jews only come in after an invention is made or a discovery is made. They come in then and steal. Just like the president of RCA stole the teenager from the Midwest who figured out how to make a motion picture camera work. They stole the technology. So, as Jews always do, they steal the white man's work, claim it for themselves, and make billions of dollars. Did they share any of it with the white boy that was out on that farm with that poor family of white farmers out there in the middle of the country? Did they share any of the vast wealth from the invention of that? No, instead they took the money to pay lawyers to keep it tied up in court for 20 years. Until the patent runs out. Because a patent is not forever. A patent is only good for 20 years. After that, it becomes of the public domain. So that's what Jews do. You wonder why your country's poor, why you can't afford this, you can't afford that, why white Christian businesses and land are disappearing and ends up in the pockets of Jews and their friends. There's why. That's what they do. While the preacher is trying to tell you that, well, okay, they do some bad things, but they're going to repent. Yes, the day's coming when every Jew will recognize the Christ. Let me know how that works out for you as you wait for something that will never, ever come to pass. It's like these morons that believe that there's going to be a rapture. Really? A rapture? You think the Christ is going to send a rescue a spaceship down here and rescue all you sorry asses off of this earth after you've destroyed it? Because you're sitting in the pews Sunday after Sunday after Sunday listening to that prostitute spewing out his lies, sitting there in that pew looking at your watch because you can't wait to get out of there because you want to go somewhere else and have a beer or go watch a ball game. I know, I was in churches. I watched you. Couldn't wait to get out of there. Hurry up, preacher. Get on with it. I'm not really listening to you anyway. I'm doing what I consider my duty. I'm sitting my ass in this pew, putting myself through this torture once a week so that people think I'm a good person. I've been there. I've seen you. You're hypocrites. You're hypocrites. Occasionally do a good deed for somebody and think it covers all the misdeeds all week long. Think that by going to that church and singing a few hymns it overcomes your slothfulness at work or your lying and cheating, doing the Jews' business for them, supporting abortion, supporting the genocide of other peoples so that the Jew can make money by using our military and our law enforcement. You think you get a pass for all that because you sat there in that pew and went through the motions. You're the people that Christ said when you come to me and say, Lord, Lord, look what I did for you and look what I've done in your name. He's going to say, get away from me. I don't want you anywhere near me. I never knew you. You can see the world's full of these people. Walking bags of bones, as Ezekiel calls them. That valley of dead and dry bones, what do you think they're talking about? Spiritually dead people. They're just here physically. They take up space, just like a dead old dry bone in the desert. It takes up space. Doesn't do a damn thing, though. Just takes up space. Goes to work like a good little slave from Monday through Friday, punches that time clock, works for the Jew, makes sure the Jew's got plenty of money. Turns the way, looks the other way when the cops break into a neighbor's house without a warrant. No knock. Yep, doesn't matter. Drag the wrong guy out, shoot him in the front yard. Oh, my mistake. Oh, I'm going to sit here and look the other way while corruption's in the local state government, the county government, the federal government. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to church. I sat in the pew. I'm okay. I'm waiting for the rapture train, Dan. I'm not going to get involved. Why should I get involved? I can sit here and just wait for the rapture train. Again, let me know how that works out for you, because it ain't coming. Now, as Dr. Janda and Greg Hunter and many others have determined from what Q and the president in his speeches and by his actions are trying to tell you, you're going to go through, some people call it a reset. You're going to go through upheaval. Let's call it upheaval because it just means a lot of change, unexpected change. Yahweh says a prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. If you don't see disaster coming now, you're not very prudent, meaning you're dumber than a box of rocks. Okay? Simple as that. Again, I really don't care if you like what I'm saying, because I'm not here to make friends. If the truth hurts, so be it. It hurt me to learn these things. You think I came out of the womb knowing everything I got now? You don't think I've got battle scars on me already? You don't think I've been through mental anguish with the truths that hurt? Well, yeah, I've already been down through there. I've got plenty of those t-shirts hanging in my closet. I'm telling you this simply because I did have to learn the hard way, and I'm hoping some of you don't have to. The warning signs are there, folks. The world economy is in a state of change. It doesn't mean that money is going to disappear. It doesn't mean there'll be no economy whatsoever. What it means is there's going to be a huge change. And anytime you change the way you do business, it's going to cause disruptions. Possibly disruptions in service. It might even cause in certain areas, because of the disruptions, it may cause violence and rioting to come out. Okay? We don't know. That's the whole problem. All Christ said was a great shakening. And that's what a great shakening in the Greek language means. Exactly what you're being warned about right now. It's a great shakening coming up. Weather-wise, economic-wise, political-wise, health-wise. I got a note here from Bubby1483. No one has been to heaven yet. Christ Yeshua descended to the center of the earth with keys of paradise and hell or Hades. Said to the other cross person, you will be with me in paradise tonight. Say all. The lying church omits this, saying lies to tickle ears for shekels and agenda and indoctrination. Well, yeah, that's true. Mainstream churches, that's all they're about is feel-good stuff. Feel-good. They just jump right in bed with whatever the Jewish propaganda of the day is. They're in bed with it. And again, all you have to do is follow the money. Who puts an awful lot of money into the seminary system? Oh, Jewish. Jewish companies and shadow companies. So they pay attention to it. Why do news agencies go along with whatever is being done? Well, first of all, many of them are controlled by intelligence agencies and are controlled by advertisers' dollars. Well, who's controlling the money? Oh, that's right, Jews. Who's controlling the intelligence agencies up till recently? Jews. So why is it that they promote everything Jewish? Right there, you just answered your own question. They control both sides. They love to control both sides of every argument. Do you ever notice that the media will give you this expert on the left, who just happens to be Jewish, and then they'll have the counter opinion by another so-called conservative, and wait a minute, he looks Jewish as well. What happened to the white men, especially Christian men? What happened to them? There's not a whole lot of them left, but there are some. Why is it you never see them on either side of the issue being interviewed? Never. It's always the Jew interviewing another Jew. And you wonder why the country doesn't look anything at all like what the Founding Fathers established. Well, that's where I give a lot of credence to what Dr. Janda and Greg Hunter were saying and the Q posts, because they're trying to warn us. Also, the fact that September is the month of preparation nationally should tell you a lot, folks. Personally, there's been a lot of hints that once all the primaries are over and before the midterm elections is when this is going to happen. So where does that put you? September, October, huh? Yeah. And what are you being told to get prepared for in September so that what happens in what? October. There was even some mentioning of the search for Red October. Red October. And here's my point. Let's say that all this stuff is just a big ruse. All right? It's all deep state. Even the so-called anti-deep state is still deep state. All right. Let's say that. It does not change the fact that you should be preparing. It does not change that you're going to see upheaval. It does not change that this climax to whatever's going on is coming up within a month and a half. It doesn't change any of that. It just changes who's behind it. It does not change your duty as a citizen of this country. Whether you want to call yourself a national, a free man upon the land, that's all rhetoric as far as I'm concerned. You were created by our Father Yahweh. You're playing the devil's game when you get into the names and nomenclature and all that. I've been to court. I've had paperwork drawn up by paralegals that knew all about the common law, knew all about the Bible, knew all about the Constitution, knew all about this and that, and the courts just did what they wanted to do anyway. The courts are just a portion of the Antichrist system. So they just laugh when you do that. Okay, they laugh. There is no protection against the Antichrist, folks. I hope you understand that. They let you win once in a while just to keep the ruse going, that there is a way to get out. But the sad fact is, if you become a person of interest, they'll walk all over you. And I don't give a damn what you call yourself. I don't give a damn what kind of paperwork you got. They're going to walk all over you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? They don't care. They've murdered presidents. They've destroyed millions of innocent lives. And do you honestly think a piece of paper is going to make one bit of difference to these people when they have total control? No. I would rather put our efforts into the citizens' militias, constitutional sheriffs, and the common law with the citizens' grand juries. As Mao Zedong, the Jewish Chinaman, Jewish in the sense that he was paid for and trained by the Jews, Mao Zedong said it because his Jewish masters taught him that. All political change comes at the end of a gun. I'm sorry, that's nature. That's law. That's a natural law you cannot change. All political power comes from the end of a rifle. So, if good people want power, and Yahweh told us to be armed, And he told us to train in the use of arms. It says so in both the New and the Old Testament. Know the ways of war and the weapons of war. Why? Because you got to fight. Damn it. Get it through your thick heads. This is not a spectator sport. Liberty and freedom come at a price. They have always cost a price. You have your religious and faith freedom because of the work of Christ. Did Christ pay a price? Well, last time I checked, he sure as hell did. Was he innocent? Yeah. Last time I checked, he was. They still killed him, didn't they? They murdered him. In fact, to this day, thanks to Sarah Silverman and other kikes like her, they still brag about the fact they murdered the Christ, who was a white man, by the way, not a Jew. My point being, regardless of who's behind what's going on, the results will be the same. You have to participate. You have to be prepared to defend your homes. You have to be prepared to survive in the advent of everything shutting down, everything run by electricity. And why do I say that? Because they've got us hooked on electricity. I worked in the electrical power industry, and I did that because I had a sense of pride that I was working to provide something that provided so many good things to people. Power for the hospitals, power for the schools, power for the grocery store, power at the gas station, power in the home so that the oven would work, the lights would work. I took a sense of pride in keeping that power plant running because so many things depended on it. But at the same time, it afforded me the vantage of saying, well, wait a minute, what if the power plant didn't run? How would life change? Answer that one, folks. Answer it. How would life change if the power plants shut down? Whether by man or by nature. You always assume it's always going to be there. Why? Because in the past, it always has been there. You assume the internet will always be there. Maybe not. There's an Achilles heel to every society, and in America and virtually every other white nation, and now many other nations as well, the Achilles heel is called electricity. The very thing that brings so many blessings can bring a lot of disaster. And I just wonder how many of you have thought about that. Now, Dave Janda referred to a potential event that could happen in the very near future, and that is that the deep state, the criminals, the cabal, the Jews, whatever name you want to use for them, are desperate. And they are desperate. A lot of them are going down. A lot of high-ranking politicians are leaving office. A lot of high-ranking CEOs of countries, etc., are leaving because the pressure is being put on them. This is the time of Satan's kids showing great wrath. And what do you do? What happens? You old farmers know what I'm talking about. What happens when you corner a rattlesnake? As my dad told me when I was just old enough to go out in the woods by myself, don't ever corner a snake. Always give him an escape route. I said, why is that, Dad? He said, because that snake will come after you because you've given it no other choice. These people are guilty of crimes that are going to require that they die, either by execution of firing squad or a hangman's noose, whatever the case may be. And so they're desperate. They're like a snake that you've cornered. There's no way out for these people. They can't be redeemed through Christ. Christ said there are those here who are condemned already. They were condemned from the moment they were born. That's not my fault. It's nobody's fault. It's the way it was created. Take it up with the King of Kings when you go in front of the great white throne judgment. Ask him. Don't argue with me or anybody else trying to warn you about this stuff. You go ask the person that created this world. because those are the rules that he set in motion. I have no idea the deep, deep meaning of all this. I really don't. Why Yahweh wants us to go through all this? I can't answer that, except that it has a purpose. As the scripture says, all things work to the good for those that love the Father. Somehow this works to the good. I don't know. I can't answer it. I don't understand abortion. I can't understand why anybody thinks it should be legal. I can't understand wars. Wars don't solve a damn thing, ever. And I got to give President Trump credit there. He was over there negotiating, and he got North Korea solved without a shot. While the lame pieces of shit that called themselves presidents before him didn't do a damn thing except promote the Jewish agenda, which is death and destruction. The enemies, the terrors, are identifying themselves. That's another indication we're close. Close to the end. Not the end of the world, the end of the age. Yahweh said, these would be the signs at the end of the age, not the end of the world. This world's not going anywhere, folks. There's no asteroid going to come. There's no Nibiru. There's no Planet X. There's no nuclear attack. There's no space invasion. Get that crap out of your head, will you? Yahweh didn't put us on this terra firma to have any of that nonsense going on. That's all BS. Because why? When you're afraid, you'll give them power. When you're afraid, you shut down your brain. You shut down the mechanisms for you to figure things out. Because you're in fear. That's why Christ said, I've delivered you from that, did he not? What is the spirit of fear? That's the spirit of unrighteousness or lack of faith. Where's your faith? That's why Christ said, will I find faith when I return? That's an odd question, isn't it? Will I find faith when I return? So Dr. Janda and his sources feel that there will be an attempt to set off a large explosion which will generate an EMP, which is a electromagnetic pulse. Anybody in electronics knows how bad that can be. An electronic pulse of significant voltage could wipe out nearly, not all, but nearly all electronic devices. But here's the key thing. You don't have to knock out every computer, every wristwatch, every device with a semiconductor or a microchip in it. All you got to do is knock out the power plants. How many people have the ability to make electricity at their house? Now, there's technology coming that will allow you to do that. That's the good news. You see, this is just the upheaval to get to the other side. This is the pains you go through as in having a child. Once the child's here, the pain is forgotten. Once we get on the other side and Christ reigns, and the wicked are buried, there's peace on earth, there's paradise. You'll soon forget all of this. But we're not there yet, are we? This is the storm. This is the pain that you have to go through. And let me put it this way. This is the pain you have to be prepared to go through, whether it happens or not. Because there is a chance that it might not go that bad. There's a chance that it might go rather smoothly. We don't know. But what do they teach you in the Boy Scouts? You prepare for the worst case scenario. Same thing as our soldiers. You prepare for the worst case. Not the best case. The worst case. What's Sun Tzu say? All right? Same thing. It's all wisdom being handed to you if you have enough sense to listen up. So not only is there going to be political upheaval, there's going to be economic upheaval, guaranteed that, and it has been alluded to that there will be social upheaval when the truth about what these criminals have done, and I've seen a few things to hint to what they're talking about. And let me tell you, you think you're smart, you think you're well informed, but when the truth comes out of what these people have done to our children, it's going to make ill the strongest man I know. It is that sick and hideous. Now, a lot of these people that have been sitting on their ass for decades while the world continued to go south, all of a sudden are going to have righteous indignation. And that's why Q even said, if the truth gets out, it won't be safe for these people to walk down the street. You see, all of these culprits don't live in a cocoon. They all go out in public at some time, at some point. And even if they stay in their mansions and in their hideaways underground, they can be found. We already know where they're at. We already know where they hide. That's why Yahweh said they will cry out and ask the rocks to fall on them because of their torment and the fact that nothing that they prepared for is going to save their sorry asses. None of their villas in South America or Central America, none of their villas over in Asia, can't hide anywhere, boys and gals. It's payback time. And so are the enemies who have had such great power for decades going to just walk away? No, they're going to try to do the Samson option. They're going to try to create a lot of pain because that's what Satanists do. If we can't win, then we want to destroy everything. The good guys know that. Yahweh knows that. And you and I should know that. Expect the wicked that walk amongst you to do the worst things. And another case in point, if everything goes down, you're at the local level, folks. Every location should have patriots who have lists made up. Now, I'm not saying make those lists public. I'm not even saying share them with any of your friends. But as individuals, you should have lists made up of the predators that walk among you, the ones that you know about. Just saying, if everything goes down, that might be the signal that we're on our own. There is no rule of law. There is no law. There's no white knight going to save you. We're on our own as we've always been. That's the way Yahweh made it. That's why he said we're to be governed by the Holy Spirit. Because when you get right down to it, it's the law of the jungle, isn't it? Now, the Jew wants you to think that the legal process and government should be all powerful, but that's not how the founding fathers felt. That's not how mankind has felt for a long time, because governments tend to be tyrants. And they begin to believe that they are gods unto themselves and work against the average person. So if everything goes down, that's when your alert system should go on high. Don't trust anybody that you haven't known for a long time, don't share anything, don't go anywhere. And if you see culprits, you see those committing crimes, to each his own. Just thoughts. Dr. Janda also had his high sources tell him that the folks that are downplaying what's called the Q posts, or QAnon post, Anon meaning anonymous, that the vast majority of the things posted by Q have come to pass, vast majority. The few things that have not could be only that they have not played out yet, because an awful lot that Q told us about back in 2017, didn't come about till later. He said future proves past. So when the posting was first put up, everybody just said, what? just like the thing about military tribunals. What? And now it's being talked about even in a confirmation hearing in front of Congress. It's being talked about even by mainstream media as well as alternative media, which is ironic because when I first started talking about it, which was quite some time ago, everybody laughed at me. Every friend that I ever had in the power industry, in the military, Dan, that will never happen in America. I said, really? Then America's doomed. That's what I said. You can even go to my archive programs and hear me talking with guests about this issue. I said, America's doomed if we don't have military tribunals because the enemy has completely corrupted every other facet of our society that protects us to make sure that true justice is done. They've corrupted it all. The only hope for America is what the Scotsman had written. Can't think of his name right now. I think it was McIntyre. Many years ago, he said, why a military coup? And he put, as a military man himself, he put the reasons why the last line of defense, saving the coming of Messiah, of course, is for a righteous military to step up to not only save the country, but to save themselves, because it's our military that's being put upon to do the dying for these Jewish wars. It's the military that have been put upon by the Veteran Affairs and the fact that they're not supported and not given the things they were promised. It's abysmal. It's pathetic. I know personally Mark up in the panhandle of Florida fighting cancer as a veteran, fighting cancer, living in a tent on the ground. How is that even possible with the vast wealth of this nation, hoarded by these despicable Jews, that one of our veterans has to sleep in a tent at night while he's fighting for his very life against cancer? How is that even possible with the money these bastards waste on programs, and the fact that that bastard nation of Itzalai gets $30,000 for every man, woman, and child, and it's the Jews that control the banking system of the world, and yet we're sending every damn kike in Israel $30,000 of our tax money a year for what? To help them be better spies? To be better assassins? To be better blackmailers? Is that what it's for? While our veterans fight cancer living in a tent. Pretty sad state of affairs. Jimmy, I'm going to unmute you, buddy, and just get your thoughts for today. You there? Oops, wait a minute. I undid the wrong thing again, Jimmy. I apologize. Hold on a minute. Uh-oh. Oh, there you are. Okay, I lost you on the screen. All right, now you're unmuted, buddy.
Yeah, I'm a little fast guy. You got to find me quick. Good morning, right. Dan. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, buddy.
Well, I try to keep notes going down the line, and I just summarize to save airtime. I fully agree. I plan to air Dr. Janda's outstanding interview with our ex-CNN, and, you know, he was with USA Today, Greg Hunter, I'm referring to. And I'll tell you what, he actually was born and raised here in Tampa. So
Greg
I reached
Hunter?
Out to him, and yes, sir.
Well, I'll be darned,
yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's a good man, and his personality is becoming of an on-air reporter. So he definitely stands in my treehouse, as you do, and others. But, you know, to the end of the September preparedness, I don't know who sent who, what who, and none of us are here to keep track of who shared what, but I found this double test that's going to emanate upon us on the 20th, very interesting for my wheelhouse. And I also find it interesting, even though this is the the Hurricane Alley event for us here in Florida, that we have so many actives. Florence, we need to say prayers for those. The way I tracked it, looks like the Carolinas are going to take somewhat of a deep direct hit with a Category 4 or 5. It could still swing up. But we have to look down the trail, you and I, Dan, because the others that are going to ramp up appear to be lower on the latitude lines. So we really have to prepare, and I wonder, and again, this is just conjecture, but we definitely have been warned to prepare for something or some things. And I definitely believe in weather modification. I think there was some laser activity on the storm that was headed for Hawaii, and actually it caused it to dissipate somewhat. And with that said, back to the EMP, I did listen to Dr. Janda's interview, and again, I'm going to air it after your show, but there are a lot of people, even in my group that I trust, that have retired, that say, Jim, if you're as prepared as you say you are, you better be ready to hunker down and be on your own. And I fully agree, Dan. We are a group of folks. We're always going to be here to help each other out the best we can. But the loss of telecommunications, and you nailed it, Dan. It's not that every piece of electronics will be yielded useless. The source of energy for said electronics is the target, in my humble opinion. So I'm just kind of going down my checklist of notes that I made during your opening. We need to be vigilant. We need to make sure we have things like beans, rice, peanut butter, crackers, anything that can provide sustenance and proteins and keep our minds sharp. I know a lot of you have spouses and kids, and that makes it even more difficult, but we need to be very, very, very awake, soberly awake in the coming weeks and months. And frankly, I don't wish any bad on anyone, but Dan, I am looking forward to falling off our bicycle, perhaps skinning our knee, but after that, like you mentioned about having a child, there's all the pacing and all the worrying, and once you hear a little babe cry and you keep the doctors away with their injections, it's gone. The worry is gone, and it's replaced with joy and peace. And that's kind of what I have to say about that, sir.
Yep, absolutely. Well, one of the things that we're trying to warn everybody about and give a heads up for this is because one of the things that disasters and upheavals create that's more devastating than even the lack of food, water, and shelter is the mental anguish. If you lose your mind, if you lose your ability to be rational, if you lose your ability to think out things, then you easily become a victim. And that's the biggest fear I have is, our people are so used to being coddled. They're so used to being given things. They're so used to all of these delicacies of the whore of Babylon, whether it's cable television, computers, the internet, air conditioning, all the things that everybody takes completely for granted these days. When it goes away, even if it only partially goes away, but what if it all goes away instantly? There's a lot of these people out here that are just going to completely go bananas because they can't even conceive. Now, that's where guys like you and I, Jimmy, because of our age, I grew up without most of the things that we have today. I grew up on a small farm in Pennsylvania. We had electricity. So we had a well pump, but we had spring water. We grew our own food in a garden. We had cattle. We had chickens. We had hay that we made and sold and used it for our own cattle at times. I lived in a cinder block house that was redone by work of our own hands and relatives that came by. It had horsehair plaster over lath, so people know how old that is. There were times in the winter you could see snow come through cracks. So I know what it is to live without these things. I grew up without these things. And so for me just to go back to my childhood isn't such a big stretch, but there's people that have never known a life without cell phones, without computers, without the internet, without television, without cable, without long-distance communication. They don't even know that that is a possibility, let alone how you live in it. Okay?
I agree.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get people
even,
to
even
think.
The school systems here, I mean, there's this huge, not only the lead in the water, which is something you and I didn't have to deal with so much that we knew about, but, most of the Hillsborough County schools have air conditioning problems. And, the poor kids. Well, okay, that is a luxury. But, Dan, I didn't have air conditioning in my K through 12 until 12th grade, and it was only one wing of the school that was added on. And I'm not suggesting that, you know where I'm going with that.
Right.
But the point I want to make is, what I think is going to happen when the music stops? A lot of people that have listened to you, my broadcast, other broadcasts, it's going to hit them. And it's going to hit them that these guys tried to warn me. I when you said that, I'm thinking it's not going to. Their first reaction is going to be dumbass me. I should have listened to these folks. I should have gotten prepared. Dan, you and I talked off air a couple weeks ago. I'm a compassionate man, and I'm actually afraid of what my weakness there, in that I will kindheartedly help somebody out, only to be taken over, my cave to be taken over, my stores, my preparedness to be taken over. And speaking with you and others, I am mentally prepared to not be the Good Samaritan at that time. I'm being a Good Samaritan as you are now, trying to get people to prepare and to sustain themselves. I had another friend last week. I'll just come to your house. No, you won't.
Well, I'll have back in the 1980s when I was first waking up and making discoveries and started my preparations clear back then. I remember at one of the Patriot meetings I went to, somebody made a comment very similar to what you said. And the military guys I was there with sort of chuckled, and I said, "What's so funny?" He says, "If they come to my door, you know what I'm going to hand them? A spoon." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yep." He goes, "I'm going to give them a spoon and tell them to go out and get their own. They're going to have to find somebody and take them down with a spoon and then take their stuff, and then they can come in. But they're not coming in empty-handed." So
exactly.
I'm going to help them by giving them a kitchen knife or a spoon and tell them, "You're on your own. You got to go. You go figure it out. You don't want to do anything now? Well, you go figure it out then. Sorry, but you're not coming in here empty-handed. Now, you come in with a wagon full of provisions, so I know you can take care of yourself, then we can work together to defend my property." Yep. In fact, I've got good friends of mine that have hundreds of acres that told me, "You come to my property and help me defend it, you're welcome, because I know you, Dan, and I've known you for a long time." So, those kinds of things go on. But this idea that you're just going to knock on the door and walk in empty-handed, no, that's not going to work.
That kind of concludes our conversation that we had a few weeks ago, in that there are folks that will be coming to the hut, but they are coming prepared with able bodies, able hands, food stores, weapons, ammunition, old friends. But, to have and even close friends that think that I'm overreacting, and their comment is, "Well, Jim, if the shit hits the fan, I'll just come to your house." And it's not, "I'll just come to your house with my my stores of food and weapons and so forth and able hands, I'll just, you know, if you're so sure, I'll just come to your house and sit down and start eating on your stored food. And I swear to the Lord above, which probably I shouldn't do, but my answer was, no, you won't. You won't be welcome here. And I've taken precautions, Dan, at my location to basically barricade the entrances to the point where you're going to meet bars at the door and not my front door. And if you break through those bars, then unfortunately, now I have every right to defend my property. And I pray to God above, Dan, that it never gets that far, but you and I both know. And that's why I cannot stress enough in closing on this thread. People, get even Ritz crackers, peanut butter, beans, rice, water. My God, water. Water right now, spring water in the grocery stores here is 79 cents a gallon. I know people are hurting right now, but, you know, grab an extra couple gallons every week. It takes about 1 gallon a day for vanity, and get yourself bottled water. You know, there's plenty of sales. Most of the quick stop gas stations, as a lost leader, you know, they have Coke and Pepsi on sale. Well, they also have bottled water on sale as a lost leader to get you to come in to buy the overpriced garbage that they sell, or as a reward for letting them boom you up the bum on the fuel prices. Also, store gasoline, generators. Of course, right now we're in the season. You can't find a generator in Lowe's today. I was up there this morning early, and people are already buying them out. I've got them in the crates here, unboxed and ready to be wetted down, which means oil and gasoline. There are things you can do without a lot of money, but you need to start yesterday. I just can't stress that enough, and I yield. Yeah.
That's right. And as far as water, water is critical. I tell people that, look, the missionaries for 100 years have used what's called a Berkey water system. And Berkeys are affordable, and the beautiful thing about a Berkey, which was originally designed by a guy in Britain, but you can find them online. Lots of people have them. But the beautiful thing about a Berkey is it's lightweight, it's portable, and you can pour virtually any water you come across, whether it's a pond, a stream, a swimming pool, whatever. You can pour it in the top, and perfectly clean, biologically clean water comes out the bottom.
You know, Dan, real quick, I can give a testimony. I can give a testimony. I have several of the Berkeys, and I also have a particle meter. Okay, you dip it in, and you keep everything clean, a clean test environment, and I used clean glass jars. And I tested the input water from my well system, and I tested the output from the Berkey, and you are 100% correct. It absolutely will. I mean, you can't pour gasoline in it and expect to get the water out of the gasoline. Let's not go to extremes. But you can take water from a mud puddle virtually. And, of course, you want to keep some extra filters on hand. But, folks, I can't stress enough that I agree with Dan on get yourself a Berkey, true Berkey water filter. And they come in different sizes. The one I have has the two filters in it, but has the capacity to hold four. Since it's just myself here, rather than spend the four filters, I chose to get more than one Berkey utilizing the two filter cartridges. And at the end of the exercise, it was less cost and will have more filtration capacity based upon number of gallons of water that I may need to filter through it.
Right. And the Berkey filters are washable. So if you put mud puddle water in them and they get clogged up, you just take them out and wash them in clean water and put them back in, and you can keep right on going. The other
Let me suggest that real quick, Dan, is the Berkey I have is a two-part stainless steel. And if you take the top portion off you can take a garden hose. Now, we may not have that, but you can reverse flush those filters. In
right.
fact, when you get them, that's part of the assembly. They actually give you this O-ring to have you reverse flush the filter. And even with gallons of water and things, because gravity is your best friend, you can reverse flush those filters even by turning it upside down. And I'll get to that in another class later. But yes, sir, it's very easy to reverse flush those filters and push the contaminants out of the center core very easily. Sorry to interrupt.
Absolutely. Well, that's okay. And I wanted to say real quick, then we got a caller I'm going to bring on. But Katadyn, which is K-A-T-Y-N, Katadyn is a Swiss company, and they make some of the best portable filters I've ever found. They sell a small one that can go into a backpack that's good for like 15,000 liters of water. And you drop a surgical tubing with a stainless steel ball on the end of it. You can drop it into any water you find in the same thing. And it's got a little hand pump on it, and it will pump out absolutely pure water at the other end. And again, it's by Katadyn. It'll fit in a backpack, and it's good for like 15,000 liters or gallons. I can't remember, but it's a huge amount of water. We got a caller. We got Ron on the line here. Ron, welcome to the program.
Say hello.
Hi, Dan. It's Ron, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Ron. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing great. Hi, Jimmy, and everybody else.
Good morning, Ron.
Yeah. We're trying to get our computers set up so we can listen in without disturbing you. I can't find a way to mute our mic. So.
Well, you don't have to, Ron. You're automatically muted till I unmute you at my end, so you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, good. Then go ahead and mute us. We're listening in, and greetings from the Keystone State.
Well, that's my
home state.
Hey,
Ron, real quick, you can go to control panel, sound, recording, and you can mute it in there.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
All righty. Well, I'm going to go ahead and mute him here so he doesn't have to do a damn thing. But if you do change your mind, Ron, or any of the folks there with you, you see the button that you push, and it'll put you back up in the queue as wanting to talk. Not a problem. And a lot of folks, don't worry about that. I mean, you know, if you accidentally get popped up over here, we can handle it just like we did with Ron. He was just say hello and explain how it works. This is all new. For years and years, we were on TalkShoe. Before that, Heritage Broadcasting, Live 365, Reality TV, or not Reality, Radio. So we've been on a lot of different platforms. This is our first time using the free conference call platform. And so there's a learning curve with all of it. The good news is that the free conference call, believe it or not, is working out as good or better than most of the other platforms I've ever had. So we do hope everybody will be patient as we kind of get through the learning curve on it. We're here to spread truth. We're here to disseminate not only the good news of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and what he's done for us and everything else. But we're also here to bring people up to speed with reality. You can't be full of Bible knowledge and not have knowledge of current events. That's just ridiculous. And besides, Christ never gave us permission to divorce ourselves from what's going on around us. And in fact, quite the opposite. That's why in the book of Luke, he said, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Well, how are you going to do that if you're weak, if you're ill, if you're unprepared, if you're unarmed? How are you going to do that? Okay, he also said if you didn't have a sword, he told his disciples, I'm getting ready to leave. The only reason that they didn't really have to have one is the Christ himself walked with them. And yet Peter still carried a sword. Okay, he told him, I'm getting ready to leave. You're going to be on your own. If you don't have a sword already, you better go out and buy one. All right? We are always to be armed. The Old Testament talks about training in the ways of war and the weapons of war. That is a commandment. That is not a suggestion. And I'm going to tell everybody that can hear, If you aren't armed and if you're not knowledgeable in the ways of war and the weapons of war, then you're not a believer. Period. All right? Done deal. You're going to be part of the crowd, the lukewarm, that Christ is going to vomit out of his mouth because you got part of the message, but you didn't get the whole message. It's one thing to recognize the scriptures. Well, that's not hard. The devil does that. It's not hard to recognize the work of the Christ. That's all over the place. It's quite another to be a true believer, to have truly accepted the Christ into your heart, to truly believe everything he said, not just what you choose. This isn't a cafeteria where you get to go in and pick what tastes good to you. You're supposed to take in the whole enchilada. You're supposed to take in the whole gospel, old and new. And if you're following any liar out there that's telling you the Old Testament was done away with, then shame on you. You're also going to be held accountable for your stupidity. You know, Yahweh, you know, people say, well, we got to feel sorry for those that are ignorant or stupid or what. No. I don't think Yahweh cares to take care of the stupid. No. Now, like we were talking about people showing up at the doorstep, if you come unprepared, you're an enemy, okay? And I was going to talk about somebody in my own family. I just had this conversation yesterday. My own family, two young people in my own family, no children, in their 30s, both of them with damn good paying jobs. And what are they spending their free time and money doing? Going on cruises, going on tours by car to Tennessee, the Carolinas, you name it, to get away, have fun. I believe in having fun. Anybody that knows me knows. I think having a good time is great. But you don't have a good time at the expense of your chores. I was raised that way on a farm. If you want to have fun with your buddies up the road, or you want to go out in the yard and play stickball or baseball or any of that stuff, you get the chores done first. Number one chore is what? Hoe the garden, take care of the animals, because that keeps you alive. Number two is your homework better be done, because that has something to do with your survival as well. You got to be educated, all right? So those things don't come first as far as the entertainment. What comes first are chores. Then you do the entertainment. What comes first is getting ready for what's about ready to happen, not going on some goddamn cruise that it does nothing for your safety, welfare, education, benefit. It's just a great big waste of time. I've been on the cruises in past years. I know what goes on there. I've seen it. It's a great big eat as much as you can hold, drink as much as you can hold, and it doesn't do anybody a damn bit of good. And when you get to these so-called hot spots, all they are is tourist traps set up there by the poor locals who don't have much money, don't have very many luxuries, and so their whole survival is getting you to buy stuff. So you're put upon as soon as you get off the boat until you get back on the boat by people trying to sell you things. Now, if you think
that's a good time,
a good way to waste your money, well, then you go ahead and do it. But in my book, that's a huge waste of time. Go ahead, Jimmy.
It's funny you bring that up because I like you. And, you know, Yahweh wants us to have fun. But when we're at a term of crisis or terms of, you know, the storm is coming, that's the last thing. And real quick, two things. One is, when I was in elementary and even all through school, we came home and we had chores to do, we had our homework to do, then we could go out and be free-range kids. But back to your cruise ship, it starts as soon as you get on the entryway. You've got a guy there that's taking your picture for $10 a shot. You with me? And wow. Everything that goes on until you leave that ship is to suck the money out of your pocket and make you think you had a damn good time so you can not only brag to people that you took a cruise, But you're, you know, it's like the neighbor did it, honey. We've got to go take a cruise. And see, that's a psychology that absolutely drives me batshit crazy. And again, and I'll say this too, you know, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. I also buy into that, but you and I and others have been killing ourselves on our nickel and our dime and our time to try to reason with people and get them to see the light. And Dan, we're out of time for doing that, but I'm not going to give up until the systems here go down. Ustream is going to shut me down here in 10 days. So I have my own UDP servers ready to go, RMTP servers, I'm sorry. I'm going to continue to do like you do and use the conference calls, and God bless that I found you and you found me, because at least we can get our message out twice a week for those listening. But folks, you got to get rid of the cruise, you got to get rid of the vacation, you got to get serious here. Get serious. And when the calm after the storm, the peace after the storm, we can all wander into our land, shake hands. But until then, folks, it is go time, Dan. And with that, sir, I yield.
Well, you're 100% right. It's time for the serious part of prep. I can't stress it enough. I mean, you know, and I just shake my head. The people that have known me for the decades that I've been sounding the trumpet, I'm not a, what do you want to call it? I don't fall for the fear porn as much. It might get my attention. I might check into things, but generally I can sniff out fear porn pretty good. I'm not one to falsely get people jumping up and down. I've simply coaxed people for many years to, because I grew up on a farm, and praise Yahweh for the farmers. Like I said, central Pennsylvania in the farms with the Amish. My grandfather on my mother's side was a dairy cattleman. My grandfather on my dad's side was a beef cattleman. And so I was raised with the Amish and good old German farmer instincts. And one of the things that I noticed and never forgot was they always had a pantry. In fact, my uncle has a pantry that is underneath his front porch. His front porch runs the entire length of his house. So we're talking probably about at least 40 to 50 feet. So that entire area under his porch is like a bunker. And it's a pantry. That entire area is nothing but shelves stocked with canned goods, homemade. Canned at home, vegetables, fruits, meat, because in the day, living out in the country on the farm, you never knew when a storm or disaster would cut you off from the other farmers and cut off your one source of outside energy, which was electrical power, because just one tree coming down along the line and you're out. So a farmer always had enough stuff to get through a bad winter, a flood, some sort of other disaster, a car wreck that takes out the electrical pole, whatever. He always had preparations. He always had stuff to fix his farm equipment. He always had stuff to help the cattle out and other animals on the farm. He had food put away. The barn was full of hay and corn for the animals. It just is a part of life to me. I can't even fathom not having some provisions put away for a rainy day. I can't even imagine that. And yet people, even in my own family, I've got a son that told me one day that he picks up the food for the evening meal on his way home from work every day. Doesn't
yes, sir, I hear
have
that all the time, Dan. Not to interrupt, but I, you know, hey, Jim, you know, and not to be a smartass, but there's a lot of children, and we've all seen it all over various videos and things. Mommy, why do we need cows when we can just go to the grocery store and buy our hamburger? Why do we kill cows? Because we can just go to Publix or whatever your favorite market is and just buy it there. And see, therein lies the forgive them for they don't know, but we have to identify those that don't know and try to be the shepherd and explain, well, honey, that nice glossy artificially lighted hamburger that looks so tasty came from a cow. And I didn't mean to go off too much on a rabbit hole, but people need to buck up back to basics is my point. Air conditioning is great. My computer room would die without it. The air filtration system, it would die without it, and that's most of my livelihood. But if that fails, will I perish? Will I freak out? No. Because I was smart enough, and I'm not just glad-handing myself, I'm teaching. Put something away, like Dan's saying. And ironically, my parents were from Pennsylvania as well. A good Swedish family and a good Scottish family. And off air, I want to get with you guys, because I bet you $100 you know my grandfather's business up there, as I got to thinking, but that's not relevant to this show. But folks, I mean, when you buy toilet paper, for lack of a better term, what, don't you buy it in packages of 4 or 6 or 18 or 20? Or do you stop each day at the market and get a roll of toilet paper? I don't know where that came from, but, Dan, I have friends. Oh, I don't suck up, Jim. I'll go to McDonald's or I'll go by Publix and pick up the ready-made fried chicken with mashed taters and macaroni, this, that, and the other. I'm just fine. Yeah? Really? Well, what happens when Publix is closed? Publix last year went on a national, when we had the storms, because some of them didn't have generators. They closed. They're not going to sell you food that they think is going to get them a lawsuit. And again, I'm going down my rant. But people... Well, what's the song, Dan? People get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Screw the cruises. You know?
I know. When back
all right, I'll stop. Yeah.
Yeah, back before Y2K, which was in 1999 when the year 2000 was coming up and the big scare, a lot of people went out, including myself, and bought a lot of things. And maybe it was a dry run for us. Because it also taught me a lot of things for preparation that you can do. And real quick, folks, barrels, 55-gallon barrels or the plastic barrels, they're relatively cheap. You can put 20 to 50-pound bags of rice or beans or whatever in them, and you can seal the tops on them, and now you don't have to worry about rats and stuff like that getting into them. And then people say, well, yeah, what about the bugs? I forget what they call them, the little bugs that will get into your food.
Mites
or whatever. I said, you know what? You know what a military guy, again, a good friend of mine, military guy, told me, just go down to the hardware store and pick up some naphtha, all right? And you take a tablespoonful of naphtha and just put it in the barrel and then seal the lid on it. Guess what the naphtha does? It goes through everything in the barrel and it will kill any living thing in there, but it will not go into the food and it will not harm you. So again, simple, cheap to get things today, almost impossible to get when disaster hits. You take a 55-gallon barrel, and I'm going to tell you can live off what you can stuff in a 55-gallon barrel for quite some time if you ration it properly. So,
yep.
You know, a couple 55-gallon barrels or something equivalent that can be sealed, you throw your bags of whatever in it, you put in a little naphtha, you seal the lid, and you don't have to worry about that food for quite some time. No bugs, put it in a good, dry, cool place. And you're not going to have to worry about it. It will be there. If it floods, it's in a sealed barrel. You don't have to worry about it. No bugs, no critters, no flooding, no anything to worry about. And you've got something there. Didn't even cost you that much. And yet there's people, like you said, they go out there and they think the store is always going to be open. Always think the store is going to be open. I remember my dad used to make fun. In my garage, I had backups for all the stuff that usually can go wrong on your car. I had extra oil, I had extra filters, I had extra air filters, spark plugs, you name it. If I could get it and store it, I had it. And he used to make fun of me. He said, you know, why are you putting all this shit in your garage when you can go right down here to Ace or to the auto parts place and whatever and get it? I said, because what if it's closed? What if it goes out of business? What if there's a disaster? What if there's a run? What if everybody all of a sudden wants to change the oil in their car and there ain't no oil there? Well, that's never happened. I said, just because it never has happened doesn't mean it never will happen. The time
well, Dan,
for preparation is in front of a disaster, not after.
I bet your dad's laughing at me because those that listen to my show and Dan, you and I talked, I had a large oak tree fall, and it took aim at the input pipe out of my wellhead. I'm on a well back here. I have no city water. And on first inspection, everything looked okay, and I thought, man, did it rip my well casing apart? But what it turned out to be was that the PVC adapter that screwed into the wellhead had a microfracture in it, and I didn't realize it until I cut away the check valve and, you know, relieved the rigid construction of the PVC architecture. Well, you know what I did? I fixed it. And frankly, Lowe's was out of one and a half and one and a quarter check valves, which I found to be very suspicious. But you know what, Dan? To your point, I got my system back up and running, and I now have an abundance of spare check valves. I have probably about 200 feet of 1-inch PVC and 1.5-inch PVC, and I probably have 100 of the adapters that I need on the shelf right here at my home, and I have 2 cases of PVC cement stored in a cold, dry place. Because if that ever happens again, I'm not going to waste my time to go to the home improvement store. And I learned a lot about the input side of my well system. I knew the output side very well. But you know what? And I said that with respect to your dad. You want to laugh at me? Some people call me a hoarder. Well,
yeah.
call me what you will. But
call
guess
me
what?
What you will.
That's right. Anyway, sir, go ahead.
Well, the other thing is, too, like lots of bullets, lots of weapons, lots of material like you're talking about that might be hard to come by. What people don't seem to understand is that's not hoarding. That is simply prep. And here's the other beautiful thing about it. Let's say you don't have any problems with your wellhead, but here comes your neighbor, and he's got the same well system that you've got. And guess what? You didn't put enough beans away, and you ran out of beans. He, on the other hand, has a ton of beans. He just doesn't have the PVC fitting he needs.
Amen.
He comes walking
Amen.
Up and says, Jimmy, how about you give me that fitting I need? I've got a 20-pound bag of beans I'll sell you for that fitting. That's called barter. That's called neighborly helping each other out, because odds are no one person's going to have everything. But as a community, you save one thing, he saves another. Whoever needs it first, you barter, and then everything is taken care of yourself. So the extras that you have, some people say, well, you could never eat all that, or you could never fire all that ammo, or whatever. But you know what? My neighbor might not have enough, and he
That's
might have
right.
something I do end up needing, whether it might be a medicine, it might be bandages, it might be ointment, it might be Young Living essential oils or whatever. Doesn't matter. The point
hey,
of it is,
speaking of ointment,
you
Dan,
can barter.
Do you remember Keystone Salve that came out of Pennsylvania? And
you talking about the stuff in the big tin?
Yes.
We called it Black Salve.
Okay, well, but it came from the Keystone State. And the other thing, see, I think this tree falling and the damage to my input side of the well was divine intervention for 2 reasons. One, it encouraged, I always have spare stuff, but now I've got overkill. But what I did is I installed a T-valve, and it cost me about $180, but I've got a hand pump, you know, like the old-fashioned that you see in the Western movies, that I can affix to the intake side and draw water out of my well without electricity. Now, I do have, and I think I shared with you, you know, a big 20 horsepower engine assembly that I could plug in and pump it with gasoline. But then again, gasoline is a precious commodity in my storage plan. So why would I run a huge Briggs & Stratton engine pump when I can go out there and with a hand pump? So you see what I mean? The damage actually caused me to rethink it through, and now I have an old-fashioned, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you go out there and give it three strokes, and then all of a sudden, if you have the siphon correctly set, it'll siphon into containers, or you just keep pumping. But at the end of the day, I think that was God's way of saying, Jim, you need to go out there and put that T in you've been meaning to do for 5 years. And because you haven't, I'm gonna damage your input side, make you go out there and do it now. I'm not kidding you, Dan. Anyway, I yield.
Well, that's why we say all things work to the good for those that love the Father. Even though you looked at it as an inconvenience, in the end, you got a better system. You've done some checking on it you wouldn't normally do. So there again, is it really an inconvenience, or is it Father giving you a nudge that you got to go out and do something?
Father gave me a nudge. Yes,
Father
sir.
Gave you a
Absolutely.
Nudge. Exactly right. And that black salve, by the way, was comfrey and a bunch of other herbs. My mother had a tin of it. Used to be sold by a door-to-door salesman. Back then, everything practically was door-to-door. Very
like the full of brush man. Yes.
Well, yeah, everybody came out door. Even the doctor came out, made house calls, and even the television repairman made house calls. So, but anyway, this black salve was kind of the universal salve back in the day, because it was used for everything that we hurt ourselves with on the farm. It was amazing stuff. And even Bubby 1483 says you put black salve, will pull out the core of a boil overnight. Amen. I have seen black salve and sea herb, which is a similar type ointment. All of it is natural. All of it's just herbs that Father put out here in the woods. But I've seen black salve take care of burns. I've seen black salve pull out stingers from bees. We used to get bit by wasps and bumblebees and such all the time. Occasionally a honeybee, but honeybees only get one sting and they're dead. So they don't sting as quickly as the ones that can regenerate their stingers. So you put the black salve on there, and it would draw poisons and toxins out. It would aid the healing process. So I've seen it. I've lived it. The folks up there in Pennsylvania, I'm sure, know all about it. These things work. And the beautiful thing of it is our Father gave us everything we need, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Just because we've become ignorant of it, we've allowed it to go into our memory hole and we don't recall it, doesn't mean it doesn't still exist. This is Father's way of nudging you that maybe you should take a harder look at the old ways. In fact, one of the books I've got here is called Our Lost Ways, The Lost Ways. And it's a book full of a guy that went back and got all the literature and diaries of his ancestors out and put it into a book of things that they used to make. For one thing, we should learn to make real quick is pemmican. Pemmican was a food that the pioneers went across the middle part of the country on their travels west. It's a survival food, because it needs no refrigeration. How about that, folks? There's actually food out there that you can carry on your wagon trains or in your backpacks or in your home in case of a disaster. It's nutritious, it's natural, and does not even require refrigeration. The founding fathers, the pioneers, made pemmican and carried it and ate just fine. Jerky. Jerky's another thing you can make. No refrigeration required. It'll keep you alive. Is it the best? Is it a 12-ounce steak down at the Longhorn or wherever? No, but it'll keep you alive. I mean, isn't that the goal after all? Jimmy put up here, I think it's spelt differently. That says panicum. I think it's pemmican. That's different. That's different. Pemmican.
Oh.
Yeah, pemmican is a different thing. You can look. It starts with P-E-M, I can't remember how it's spelled, but it's basically a combination of meat and different herbs and made into a mixture with a lot of fat. And this is all organic, open range. None of this garbage where the animals are fed hormones and antibiotics and all that. That stuff's poison to you, folks. I hate to tell you, it's poison. But, you know, I just don't know what it takes to get it through our people's heads sometimes. Again, I've 65 years I've lived this life. 65 years, not perfectly. I've pemmican, P-E-M-M-I-C-A-N. I guess that's it, pemmican. But I've done my best to live as close to the biblical law and the common sense of the pioneers, who were also very close to the biblical law, except some of them ate pork, of course. You must stay away from that. But the point of it is that we have all these things, and if you keep the poisons out of your body and you give your body the right nutrition, the elements, the minerals, and all that stuff, if you give it to it, you would be shocked at how many things the human body can recover from. You would be shocked. I've even read the stories where people have had thyroids grow back. Now, the medical community will tell you that's impossible. They had thyroids grow back. They've had gallbladders grow back. Maybe not to the full potential and size of the original, but enough so that it helped compensate for the lack of the original mass. So the point of it is, even recalcification of your teeth, they say that's impossible. I have a good friend of mine from Tennessee. He's done it. He's done it. His dentist is just amazed. He says, how the hell did you do that? It's impossible. And he said, well, it's impossible to you because you went through dental school. Just like everything to these doctors, they go through medical school. So it's only what the Jew wants them to know. And everything the Jew wants them to know puts money in their pocket. They don't get any money in their pocket when you go out in the garden or you go out in the woods and you get herbs and you come in and mix up a tincture or a tonic or a potion and you apply it, and guess what? The body starts healing itself. Well, there's no money in that. Dr. Dave Janda, the guy we were just talking about, that's one of his pet peeves in America, is that everything is to fix a problem instead of prevention. His big thing is prevention, and that's what the Founding Fathers used to believe in. And even Benjamin Franklin says what? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Yep, there you go. The old one-liners, just like the Bible says, teach a child in the way, and he will remember as he grows older. What does that mean? That's a biblical way of saying, just as my father and mother did. During the day, while you're doing your chores or while you're just horsing around or whatever, you throw little one-liners in there when they apply, because then they stick.
Dan, my favorite is give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man how to fish, and he'll eat for a lifetime.
There you go. Again, common sense. Common sense. Haste makes waste. Waste not, want not. You know, that little saying, do you know how much money that has saved me over the years? Just remembering those words ringing in my head. Waste not, want not. I turn lights off when I leave a room. I turn fans off. I don't run water when I don't need it. Why? Waste not, want not. What that means is if you're frugal in your use of your money, your energy, your water, your food, you're not wasteful, you're probably never going to be in a position to want it, meaning lacking it, because you've been a good steward. Oh, where does it say about good steward? Oh, that's right. It's in the Bible. Imagine
that.
Right,
and Dan, food. I have never, ever, ever tolerated throwing food away, mostly in the early days because there are people that are starving. But I manage my kitchen and my food and my leftovers that will probably drive most women crazy. That's why I miss Kim. But I manage my food. If I prepare something that says feeds five, then I'll enjoy it. And I will maybe leave a little bit for leftovers the night after so I don't have to cook again. But I freeze it. And then I manage what's in the freezer. And I don't mean to, waste our time on that. But if people would just get in the habit of managing their affairs, money, food, and again, I dated a gal that we actually cohabitated for a couple years, and I would come home from the office, and it looked like my house was ready for landing lights on the local airport. I mean, every frickin' light in the house was on. Why? There's only two of us. Turn the light out. Turn the light out.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't mean, but Dan, I'm with you. Waste not, want not. Food, electricity. Why in the world would I want to give my money to the Jews at the power company just to be lazy and keep the, I don't give a rat's ass if my house looks dark or not. I really don't. Who cares? It's me, right? Anyway, I know I'm preaching, but yeah, be frugal, folks. Frugal is the new smart, by the way.
By the way, Jimmy put up here the website if you want to learn about pemmican. Again, you can do what you want to do. I think it's pretty fascinating. If it was good enough for our founding fathers to carry with them to get from the East Coast to the West Coast, you got to remember, back in the day, the founding fathers were traveling and the pioneers were traveling. It took many weeks, sometimes months, to get from one end of the country to the other. There was no automobiles. There were no highways. So this pemmican is what they lived on, and they had to exert a lot of energy, a lot of calories in energy in a day because they didn't have a car to sit in. They didn't have a truck. They actually had to work day in and day out. So they expended a lot of energy. And so they needed calories, and pemmican, that's one reason pemmican's full of fat. Good fat, not the bad fat. These are the good fats that are very full of energy and full of the things your body needs. But anyway, here's a website on how to make pemmican. It's called Marks, M-A-R-K-S, Marks Daily Apple. That's all together, MarksDailyApple.com. And he has a section called How to Make Pemmican. So there again, I don't know what else we can tell people. That every indicator I have says that we're going to go through something very, very upheaval, a period of upheaval in the very near future. Certainly before the November elections. This is going to happen before the elections. My personal opinion is we may not even have November elections. I'm just guessing. But I got a strange suspicion that says that we're not even going to have it because things are going to become that chaotic that it'll be either done away with or postponed while we clean up. Okay? Just
hey,
as
Dan,
the book of Revelation
remember,
says.
Remember a couple weeks ago we were kind of both flipping the coin. Is the brown matter going to hit the blades before, during, or after? And I think the closer we get to it, especially with the Kavanaugh hearings, I don't know if you have time to touch base on that before you close your show, but I'm with you. It is, in my humble, educated opinion, that some of the brown matter is going to hit the fan as soon as next week. Whether that's the unsealing, the tribunals, the left is so afraid that they're going to be exposed and not all the rats can get off the ship. I think that the balance in our flipping of the coin is it's going to start before. It's going to continue during, and it's really going to ramp up after the midterm election, sir. What's your take on that?
Well, the fact that the martial law, not martial law, but the military tribunals take effect, the new rules for them anyway, take effect in January 1st. So between now and January 1st, there's going to be a lot of preliminary upheaval. I believe that the more serious items that require military tribunals will be taken care of in January. Some of the other things, such as McCain's being dealt with, will happen before then. They don't need amended military tribunal rules to do some of the things they have to do. So the point of it is that we're going to see a lot of changes. And one of the big changes that you're going to see, whether you like it or not, and it's going to happen before January, is the money system, okay? If you're following anything at all about what's going on in the world of finance and currencies, every indicator is pointing to high alert right now. So that's what I'm just telling you this stuff, just like Christ said in the New Testament.
When Brother, I sent you the update on silver last week, if I may interject that. So go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Well, precious metals, I've got family that was talking about selling some of their precious metals. I said, whatever you do, even if you got to use your damn credit card, spend the Jews' money because they're going to end up bankrupt here soon. Spend their money. Don't get rid of your precious metals. Hang on to your precious metals, because if anybody's even close to right that I'm listening to, the value of those commodities is going to go right through the roof. In fact, all commodities, because the wealth of a nation, folks, is not in your banking system. That is not your wealth. The wealth of a nation is, first, its people, and second, its commodities or resources, such as timber, coal, precious metals, and things such as that. That's
Dan,
the
I'm
value.
Not a financial advisor, but if you have, unless you absolutely have to sell your, especially because most folks have silver, do not sell your silver. There was an article last week that came out from the U.S. Mint that we're out of U.S. gold minted 2018 Silver Eagles, and it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks. Well, the ask went to $14.50, but the premium that a gold dealer or silver dealer for owning physical gold jumped up by $4. I used to pay 49 cents above spot. Dan, I've sent you the links to the broker I use. It went up to $4.50 per ounce broker fee. So even though I trust my broker, the system is manipulating, because there's not a son of a bitch on this planet that tells me that the Silver Eagle was all of a sudden sold out. And if, in fact, that is true, that should be another indicator to people. But, Dan, in closing on that thread, I am not a financial advisor, but do not sell your in-hand metals right now. Just to make $3 or $4 and walk away like you're a financial hero, frankly, with all due respect, you're a moron. Do not sell your metals. Do not sell your metals. And with that, sir, I yield.
Yep, I concur. I would not get rid of any commodity you can afford to hang on to at this point. Certainly, your precious metals would be the last resort. Again, if you still have credit cards or can get a personal loan, hey, it's the Jews' fiat currency that's getting ready to completely implode, so spend it. Because the odds are, if the reset goes any way even close to what I'm reading about, one of the things that's going to be happening is very similar to what's already happened in Iceland. That's already happened in Vietnam. It's already happened in, I believe it's Hungary, okay? Countries have told the Jew bankers, we don't owe you a damn thing, because your so-called interest was on money that never existed. That's illegal. In fact, if we catch your ass in our country, we have a general warrant for your arrest for defrauding our people with fake phony money, and then charging us interest on it. So we already have a precedent being set where countries have said, hey, Jew bankers, we don't owe you this money. And here, we're writing it off, and we're going to start over, and we're going to run our own currency, as in the United States, the Constitution demands, by the way. So we've had unconstitutional money since 1913, thanks to the criminals in Washington, D.C.
Dan, you nailed it. You nailed it. And if I may, this is my wheelhouse, which is why the show is called Bank Versus You. The Jew Bank versus you, the common guy. And I came up with that name because I battled for people in the mortgage industry. And at the end of the day, without divulging too much about my real job, when you sit at a closing table, your signature just created debt. There was no value received. Yes, did you get your house? Yes, did you get the keys? This, that, and the other. But there was no actual money. There was no Jim loaning Dan or Dan loaning Jim $500,000. There was no value received. It was simply a digital debt. That right. Then, okay, now if I take that $500,000 at, say, 6 to 10% per year and it over 30 years, I can then take that contract that you and I have signed and go sell it to somebody at half face value and actually receive value and get enriched for doing nothing except enslaving you. And that's the real quick pebble across the pond. And I just had to say that because anytime it triggers me that you're right, Dan, it is all a debt-based society. Now, I will caution people, the debt police are ready to strike. So if you go out and say, okay, I've got $3,000, say, left on my credit limit on my Visa card, or $20,000 left on my home equity, I'm going to go out and screw the Jews, put it into precious metals. You got to be very careful because before we can tell the system to go get screwed, the debt police are already coming out, and they will be out in full force. So, Dan, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm also cautioning people to, instead of entering into an agreement to buy said precious on your Visa card, I would encourage them to find a different way. Have a garage sale. You know, you've got stuff in your garage. Not that you want to sell anything for survival, but, you know, liquidate $1,000 of crap you may have around your house and meet some good people. Take that money and go to somebody like JM Bullion. I have no affiliation with them. I actually use them because they seem fair and honest. I've never had a problem with them. Find a good bullion dealer, whether it be gold, silver, titanium. Do not. Absolutely do not take the Monix, lady, as we will store your gold or precious metals for you to keep them safe, and we'll send you the certificate with this little safe you can put in your bedroom to put the little IOU into. Okay?
Right.
So be smart with it. It's my well, and anyway, nope. I'm going to, yeah, go ahead. But don't necessarily
yeah.
raise the flag up and think no. we're going to screw the Jews, yeah.
No. Well, first of all, the Bible tells us all things in moderation. So going crazy doing anything is never what a true Israelite should do. Number two, it says to be as wise as the serpent race and as innocent as a dove. All right, you're not supposed to take advantage of anybody, including the serpents, all right? If you don't have a need, then you don't go out and do it. I knew somebody one time said, I'm going to go out and get all kinds of debt, knowing the system's going to collapse, and I'm just going to get as much as I can get. Well, that's not a need. We're talking about fulfilling needs to prepare, not treasure chests and cruises and BS like that. The other thing real quick before we do run out of time, I wanted to talk a little bit about the ARC project, Jimmy, because the number of people interested in the ARC project that we've got here going in Florida, and this could also happen in other states, but the number of people interested in it, almost demanding it, they want out of this beast system so bad they can taste it. It just grows day by day by day. I'm on the phone from morning till night. Trust me, every single day talking to people about everything imaginable, but one of the big subjects is the ARC project. When is it going to happen? Where are you going to do it? How soon can I get there? Can I be part of it? And so I'm just asking people that if they have any suggestions on in that area, send them to us, either Jimmy or myself. I'm at BYD, which is By Yahweh's Design, BYD, Pastor Dan, at yahoo.com. And keep it in your prayers. The prayers of the righteous man availeth much. I like to think the listeners to this program are some of the most righteous people on earth at this time. As far as I can tell, they're some of the most stellar individuals as far as free thinkers and people who actually walk the walk and don't just talk the talk.
Hey,
so
Dan. Hey, Dan.
Keep that in your prayers.
I sent you an email last night, and the caption was a two-part show.
Yes,
and it's
I saw
with another affiliate up there in Missouri, and I have direct contacts with him, and he and his family and his farm are absolutely great people, impressive, and they have a lot of affiliation with Janda and others. But at the end of the exercise here, this concept is catching on. And if you listen to, I don't know if you've had a chance, it's the first 30 minutes is on a young lady that went through the cancer, and it really took a lot of guts for me to listen through it, because it's exactly what happened to Kim, except Kim didn't win, but this lady did, and they're both, her husband's a doctor, and she's RN that put her license on inactivity. These aren't wackies. But the second half, it's amazing. It's almost like they listened to our shows, Dan. They said everything you and I have discussed, right down to how to incorporate, how to offset taxes, and frankly, they had a good lesson on how to get $100,000, $200,000 grants as a teaching school, and I found that to be very interesting. So if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to, and maybe listen to it a couple times. I think it starts about 30 minutes into, not to discredit the first part, but Dan, there are a ton of people that even call me after your shows and figure out that you and I are discussing certain ways to make the ARC project work. I'm blessed with you and others sending me buildings that can be brought in on flatbed, and the men of the community in 3 or 4 hours can set up a shelter of subsistence. You know, your show that I air on my show has the Earth House that I think would, you know, I'm not a greedy guy, but I'm thinking that's me, that we can put the computers upstairs, the meeting rooms on the second floor or the first floor, and I have my little bedroom bathroom on the first floor. You'll hear in that video where they discuss what you and I have discussed, unbeknownst to them, about having a community hall, having a community kitchen, having farms, goats, cows, pigs, you know, maybe not pigs, because I don't know, maybe the pigs have a function in waste removal. I'm not so sure that would be a food staple, but Dan, I encourage you to listen to that, and I'm going to yield, and you don't even have to come in to get my last words, because I'll go on for 30 minutes. But Dan, I do want to exit and yield with, we love you, Dan. We thank you for your gift of time, and as I said in my last email, I'm growing frustrated, but I'm not giving up. I'm ready for the next move on the chessboard, and I guess I'm waiting for Yahweh to make his next move. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, it could be. Well, Yahweh, bless your heart, brother, and keep up the good work up there and stay in touch, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Again, that's Jimmy up there with bankversusutv.com out of Tampa. It's kind of funny. Jimmy said that Greg Hunter, who I respect, I don't agree with him on everything. He's a little too universalist for me. But he seems to be a very good journalist. So from that standpoint, I use him for information. But the fact that he's from Tampa, the other YouTube channel, Lionel Nation, he used to be a federal prosecutor. He now lives in New York, but he grew up and his whole career was, again, in Tampa, Florida. Where are most of the men that are involved with the ARC project? Tampa, Florida, or very close, not necessarily in Tampa itself, but in the Tampa area, Central Florida. Quite a few folks of late all have fingers pointing to there. Even Ann Vandersteel, who just did the interview with two new intelligence agents that have become whistleblowers, that's hitting viral status on the internet. She just started her channel, and she's from, guess where? Jupiter, Florida, which is right across the state from Tampa, over on the East Coast. I've been to Jupiter. It is a beautiful area, far enough away from the population centers that it still looks like America instead of Little Havana. So nothing against the Cuban people, especially the Caucasian Cubans, but by God, there's too many of you here. There's too many aliens here, thanks to the Jews destroying our immigration policy in 1965. Putting the face of Ted Kennedy, the prostitute Anglo, put his face on it as if he had something to do with it. He's a drunk and a woman chaser, and he was never any good. He had nothing to do with it. It was Jewish from day one. So it was Jacob Javits and his little band of Talmud thumpers that destroyed our immigration policy. So again, make America great again by make America white again. White ruled by white men of faith and good character. That's the job of the people. This was never a dictatorship. This was never a system that said that you could sit on your ass and take for granted that somebody's always going to do a good job. The founding fathers themselves said it. We've given you a republic if you can keep it. Meaning it takes eternal vigilance. You never, ever, ever trust a public servant. Never trust a public servant. Ever. Ever. Do you understand that? How many times do I have to say it? You never, ever trust them. You keep your eyes on them all the time. Exactly as the good book says. And when they've committed a crime, remember, what does the good book say? A public servant is issued twice the judgment that you and I would. That means public servants are held to a higher standard than you or I. Higher, not lower, higher. So if there's a crime committed that requires a 5-year sentence, and the whole prison system needs to be done away with, we need a biblical solution to this. But for now, this will do for reference. If a current crime requires 5-year sentence, if a public servant does it, he gets 10 years. 10 years. If you want to talk about capital crimes, they only have to commit half as much to get the death sentence as you or I would have to do. They're held to a higher standard. Why is that? Because they're in a position of trust. And that goes for the clergy as well, by the way, and the good book says that as well. That's why Yahweh says in the end of the age, when the truth of these lying prostitutes behind the pulpit comes out, that their own families, their own parents will help to hunt them down, and that they will be given a double portion of judgment. Again, I'm not going to give you chapter and verse. You can do a word search and find it yourself the same way I did. I don't believe Yahweh expects us to memorize chapters and verses. He expects us to memorize principles. Principles. Because they'll stay with you. Chapter and verse mean nothing. Look at that that complete automaton that brags about knowing, Van Impe. I know 10,000 Bible verses, but I'm a complete idiot when it comes to the principles. So memorizing Bible verses isn't our job. All right, we've taken enough time. I can't believe it's, again, 2.5 hours. My God. I apologize, but I do thank the listeners that can can sit there and listen to us ramble on for 2.5 hours. So, Jimmy, thank you, buddy, and your audience. Yahweh bless your heart. May he protect you. In fact, let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to reach out to our brothers and sisters. We know you deserve all the glory, and you've got none of it. We've walked our own walk. We've turned our back on you in so many cases. It's just unimaginable. Why you have patience for us, why you love us the way you do, is beyond my understanding, to be completely beyond my understanding. We have done nothing to deserve that kind of love and tenacious attitude by you towards us. But you promised it. You're unlike us, you're a man of your word, and you cannot be shown to be a liar. It even says that in Scripture. Because of your integrity, your honor, the truth will come out, and this will be a restoration. And it's not because we're worthy of it, because we're not. It's because you are worthy of it. Your honor, your integrity, your name has value. And because of that, this wicked system is going to be put into the dirt where it belongs, and then true paradise will come out of it, and peace and prosperity for all mankind, when the enemies of Christ, the children of Satan, are rounded up and dealt with as they should be. In the meantime, give us strength and courage. Give us good discernment that we could see the dangers that are on the horizon. Give us the impetus within us, Father, to go out and make preparations. The ones that we can. If you can't, okay, fine. But by God, I know a lot of you can, and you're just not doing it. Everybody should do something. And again, Father, there's going to be some thinking they can just come knock on the door and take food out of our family's mouths. That's just not going to happen. You can't come unprepared. You're like the virgins who did not have enough oil for their lamps. They got turned away. They weren't invited in. They're not part of us. If you don't have enough discernment to know to get ready, shame on you. You're not having what I have. It's going to hurt like hell. I would love to save everybody. Trust me. I wish there were no criminals. I wish there were no Satanists out there. I wish all the children were safe instead of being taken advantage of. I just also know that that's not reality. So, Father, give us again good discernment. Give us a good stiff backbone. Have us stand for righteousness. Have us oppose evil in every form that we come across it. And we ask also, Father, that you would put a hedge of protection around us to protect us from our multitude of enemies in these days. And for those who want to do righteous things, may you bless their hearts. Give them courage also and protections as we go forward from this day. We ask and pray all these wonderful things, including your return, Father, that it be very soon. We ask it all in the name of Yahweh, our King and our Father. Hallelujah.